From Luke 2, 8 to 10. Luke 2, 8 to 10. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for coming and becoming one of us, born as a baby in Bethlehem. You came to rescue us and to pull us out of our sin, to restore a walk that was broken with you. We were dead in our sin, but now we are alive in Christ because you came for us, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, we open your word today. Amen. What an amazing announcement. This wasn't an ordinary, this was a great announcement of great news, not just any ordinary news. Who was it for? It was for all of us, for all people. Now, I love good news. I love it when somebody calls and says, "I've got some good news." Now, it's a little touchy when they say, "I've got good news and I've got bad news. Which do you want first?" Well, really, I just want the good news. How about that? Good news is great. When a friend calls you, or a family member calls you and says, "I've got some great news." We love great news. And this is the greatest news of all, that Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, entered into our world through a womb. And He grew in that womb as a baby, and He was born in Bethlehem. And He wants to do the same today in you. Jesus wants to be born in you, and He wants to grow in you, and He wants to come out of you in your words. He wants to come out in your actions. He wants to come out in the way you treat others. Now, in preparing for this message, I was looking for some people that today let that light of Jesus shine. People who, in tangible ways, let Jesus, who has been born in their lives, just overflow. And I found a video of some athletes who are not ashamed of their faith. Here, listen to some of these testimonies.
"I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the power of Jesus, I won this in Germany tonight. You know, I came here to Germany in the lion's den to a great, great champion in Vladimir Klitschko. My Lord, my Savior, my rock, my salvation, give me the glory tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you."
Amen.
To read His words and meditate it day and night.
I heard a voice say, "You believe in God, why are you scared to die?" So I tried to make a deal with the voice. I said, "I'm still Joy Fun. I can box and get money for charity and for cancer." And the voice answered me right back, "I don't want your money, I want you." And I remember tears coming down because
I definitely feel like, you know, my running is a gift from God, and I just want to use it to the best of my ability. So that it also calms my nerves.
Well, I just read the Bible, and I serve the Word of God, and I know that the Word of God is true, and that's how I live.
Every one of these athletes are imperfect. They don't have it all right. They don't have it all together. But I'm thankful every time I see somebody in the spotlight give glory to God or glory to their Savior, Jesus Christ. And for those sports fans out there, I'm a sports fan, especially college football, college basketball, but particularly college football, and right in the midst of playoff and championship. And we had a couple of big games yesterday. One, not much of a game. The other one was really close. And a lot of you know I'm an Ohio State fan, and we came out on the losing end of that game. But wow, what a game it was. But I've been impressed with Dabo Sweeney and Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback. They won the championship last year, and both of them giving glory to God and thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And last night, the first interview, Dabo Sweeney giving glory to God. I love it when someone is in the spotlight and that the Savior that was born in them, Jesus, comes out. He just comes out in the way they live their life, by the way they work, by the way they play ball, by the way they coach. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, if it's coaching, if it's playing sports, if it's working in an office, if you're farming, whatever you do, if you're a student, when you're going to school, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. You have a choice. Every one of us, we have a choice. And we have our family worship today, so our kids from Kids Zone are in here. You have a choice in your life. You can live your life for you, or you can live your life for Christ in everything that you do. You can live your life you first, and you'll be miserable. On the way here this morning, I heard an interview with Max Lucado on Fox News, and he was saying that 1/3 of the population of the United States are happy. 1/3 are happy, that 2/3 are not happy. And he was explaining how happiness springs out of a joy that comes from giving. That when you take the focus off of self and you begin to serve others and you're concerned about others' happiness, it elevates your happiness and a joy. It is more blessed to give than to receive, and it changes you. And that's the message of Jesus, who humbled Himself, came and became one of us to show us what it means to set yourself aside and to look at the needs of others. There's only one choice between living your life just for you or living your life for Christ in all that you do. Only one leads to an amazing life. And in considering an amazing life and the choice you have, consider a world without Christ. What if Jesus had never been born? I love Christmas time. I love Christmas time. There's so many movies that are out every year, and some of them have become iconic to Christmas. Anybody watch, and this was an animated show that came out, movie that came out when I was a kid, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Anybody watch that this Christmas time? Santa Claus. How about One Magic Christmas? Anybody watch One Magic Christmas this Christmas? You watched it? Miracle on 34th Street, anybody watch? There's a couple of versions out there, an older one and a newer one. Elf, anybody watch Elf? I think that one won in the first service. That's becoming an iconic, I guess, Christmas movie. Everybody wants to see Elf. How about one I didn't think of earlier, The Polar Express. Anybody watch that? Okay, a lot of people watch The Polar Express. Any of the Santa Claus movies with Tim Allen? Yeah, some of those. Probably the most iconic is It's a Wonderful Life. That has been around for the longest time. There is a color version, but we watched it. We watched the black and white version the other night. I think it was Christmas Eve that night we watched it. I watched most of it. I fell asleep in part of it. Not because it was boring. It was just because I was tired. But I only missed a little bit of it. I'm becoming my dad, I guess, in that way. Not being able to watch a movie all the way through. But in the It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey has big plans. Big plans for himself. I'm going to travel the world, and I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to be a big success. But plans change in an instant. That's how life works. Sometimes they're just life events change everything. In this case, it was the sudden death of his father. And so George Bailey has to take over the family business, the Bailey Building and Loan. And most of you know the story of It's a Wonderful Life. He takes over so his brother can go to college, expecting his brother to come back so then he can go off and travel the world and go to college. But it doesn't work out that way. But Uncle Billy loses, with the help of the mean old Mr. Potter, $8,000. And everything starts to fall apart. George realizes he's going to be bankrupt. He might be in jail, but he's taking responsibility. But it's all falling apart. And Mr. Potter plants a seed in his mind that you'd be worth more dead than you are alive. And Clarence shows up and he's given a gift that, what would life be without if you had never been born? And he comes to the realization that his life, his entire life, from childhood on up, has a ripple effect. That all of you have no idea the ripple effect of your life and the influence that you have and the potential positive influence for Christ that you have. What if Jesus hadn't been born? Our world would be so different. You are influenced more by the birth of Christ than you realize. Just the date on the calendar. We're getting ready to enter into 2020 AD. 2020 AD. Anno Domini. Which means the year of our Lord. 2020 in the year of our Lord. Now, we don't say that anymore, but the calendar hinges on the life of Christ. 2020 in the year of our Lord. Our calendar has been influenced. Our education has been influenced. Many institutions were established, Harvard, Princeton, and many others, for the purpose of exalting Christ. Now, many of these educational institutions have fallen by the wayside and the church needs to reclaim them. We wouldn't have Christmas. Could you imagine life without Christmas? I love Christmas. I don't mind starting before Thanksgiving, listening to Christmas music and putting the trees up and hanging the lights even before Thanksgiving because I love Christmas. I love all the candy and the pies and the fudge and all the excitement and the gift giving. Christmas, my whole life I've been celebrating Christmas, and many of you, your whole lives. Could you imagine your life without Christmas? Now, I know we get down on the commercialization of Christmas, that we're stealing from the message, but I mean, I loved growing up going to the shopping mall. I enjoyed going in my town growing up, especially at Christmas time, there'd be so full of people. Almost the whole town is there, and you'd run into people you hadn't seen for a while, and you could visit with people, and you're just with people at the mall, and now the malls are going by the wayside. I think being together with people is going by the wayside because we just do everything right here. We don't have to deal with people anymore. But we wouldn't have shopping malls without Christmas. We wouldn't have all the blessings we have in this nation without Christmas. Many of those retail stores that we enjoy going to shop, and I know some of you can't stand shopping. You don't like it at all, but just think of our conveniences and Walmart and Kroger, and all these places get a boost at Christmas time. That's how they survive. And that's how we've become the wealthiest nation in the world and have become the most generous nation in the world. Christmas is a time where we are reminded as a people to give, and people experience giving that they don't any other times of the year. And the spirit of giving is infused into our culture, and that blessing that comes from giving is infused into our nation. And just think, if we had years and years without that, we might not even exist at all. The world might have already been gone a long time ago. We wouldn't have many of the hospitals. I know you don't like going to the hospital, but man, I'm thankful we have hospitals, and a lot of them were founded by God-fearing lovers of Jesus, and they were founded out of faith. And many of the organizations that take care of the homeless and the hungry and the compassion ministries around the world sprung out of the fact that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So wow, what an awful world this would be if Jesus had never been born. No one did more to elevate women in society than Jesus. His mother Mary became one of the most revered persons in history. The first to witness the resurrection was Mary Magdalene. Prior to Jesus, women were just nothing more than property. The Greek philosopher Cicero likened women to slaves, dogs, horses, and donkeys, all possessions to be used and cast away. But Jesus, teaching through the Apostle Paul, wrote, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." And so no one did more in history for women, for families, and for marriage than Jesus. What an awesome life, an amazing life because of Jesus. And we could go on and talk about music and literature and law and justice. So much that has been influenced by the birth of Jesus. So in making this all-important decision to choose a life that is an amazing life by choosing Jesus, choose a life with Christ. Colossians 1:19-23, "For God was pleased to have all His fullness." God who spoke the universe into existence. God who knows you. He knows your hurts, your fears, your deepest hurts. He knows the number of hairs on your head. And I know for some of us, that's not much of a challenge. But He knows. He knows the grains of sand on the earth, the number of stars. He knows every one. And this God was pleased to have all His fullness, all this knowledge, all this power, dwell in Jesus and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were an alien, you were alienated from God, separated from God for eternity, and were enemies in your minds because of your evil desire. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. You are free from accusation. You are innocent, without blemish, without sin, without spot because of Jesus. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Life without Christ is a life without purpose. You will aimlessly pursue the things of this world that will not last, and they will not bring fulfillment. All the fullness of God dwells in Jesus, and His purpose for bringing His life into you is to bring the fullness of God into you. And He wants to be born in you, and He has been born in all of us who are in Christ, and He wants to flow out of us to change the world. I came across another video this past week, and I don't share a lot of videos, and today I just happen to want to share two of them. A businessman in his business dealings, a man who was a scoundrel, a man who battled addiction, a man who spent time in jail, until Jesus got a hold of him and changed him and was born in him and now overflows and comes out in his words and his actions, and he has influenced so many people. And most of you know him, Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty. Listen to this testimony.
And I couldn't tell you how many times people who are just sitting over there, and they're listening, they're thinking, it pricks their heart. So whether it's a telephone conversation like the guy who called me up one time, and he used God's name in vain about four or five times while he was ordering a duck call. He wants a duck call. Well, after about the fifth time that he come out with this ungodly language, I said, let me ask you something. Why would you keep using God's name like that? I said, oh, he wants a duck call. And there was silence. And I said, are you still there? He said, hey, I'm still here. You got my duck call coming? I said, I got it coming. He goes, boom. I just asked him a simple question. Why would you be using that kind of language in the process of ordering a duck call? Look, 10 minutes goes by, the guy calls again, and he says, you know what? He said, hey, it's me. I said, well, what about it? The question's still on the table. And he said, Mr. Robinson, I've never thought about that on my language. I said, well, you're going to die one of these days, aren't you? And he said, yeah, I'm going to die. I said, why would you curse the only one I know of who can save you from that? He said, I just never thought about it. I said, you know what you ought to do? He said, what's that? I looked at his order where he ordered the duck call, and it said Alabama. I said, you're from Alabama, it'd take you about 9 or 10 hours. I said, won't you just drive over here and I'll tell you a story about the one you're cursing. You may change your mind. He said, I may do that. I said, you ought to. Boom. 1 week goes by, knock on the door. A guy steps in and says, you know who I am? I said, I don't think so. He said, I'm the guy from Alabama who was cursing God. I said, so you did come. He said, I got to know. I gave him the good news about Jesus. He and his friend, you know what they did? They cried. Took them down the river and baptized them. And they went on their way rejoicing. 17 years later, I spoke in Alabama, and some dude came up and said, Robinson, you remember the guy that called you on the phone and drove over there and was converted? I said, I remember that dude. He said, he's one of the leaders in this church now. I said, really? He said, yep. That is how you put God's word into action.
Isn't that great that he had influence on a man 17 years later, now a leader in a church? You just have no idea. When you plant a seed, you water the seed. But yet he confronted and said, hey, you're going to die someday. Don't you know that? Yeah, I know that. I'm going to die. Why would you curse the one that can save you from that? Wow, that was powerful. And Jesus, who has been born in you, wants to use you to change a life. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. And Phil Robertson took those two men down to the river and he baptized them. Peter said in Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now Noah Miller was baptized on Christmas Eve. And Noah confessed Jesus as Lord, and he went down into that water and he was buried in that water, because baptism in the New Testament is a burial. And Romans 6 tells us that when you're baptized into Christ, you're buried with Christ and you're raised into a brand new life. And Romans 10 confirms for us that it's for everyone, Jews, Gentiles alike. That how do I know I can be, if you can confess Jesus as Lord, if you believe in your heart and you can confess Him as Lord, then you too can be saved. And the Apostle Paul was told by Ananias while he was Saul, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, baptism doesn't save us. The water doesn't save us. Now, I know 1 Peter 3 says baptism now saves you. But it says it's not the washing, it's not the water, it's not the bath. It's that pledge of faith. It's that pledge of, I'm in with God. I'm going to be obedient to what you ask me to do. I am putting my whole trust in you. I am all in with Jesus. And we are raised into a brand new life. And today, and as we are about to enter into a new year, if you have never confessed Jesus as Lord, what are you waiting for? Just like was told to Paul by Ananias, get up, be baptized. If you've never been immersed, what are you waiting for? Be buried with Christ, raised into new life. Allowing Jesus to be born in you and to flow out of you. Romans 15:13. May this be a prayer for us today. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. These athletes, the coach last night, the whole Duck Dynasty crew allows the hope of Jesus to overflow in their lives. What about you? And it's a wonderful life. George Bailey, when he realizes that his life counts, he rushes home. He can't wait to see his wife and his kids. And that was all that mattered, was seeing them. But the friends and the neighbors, they came bringing help. They knew he was in trouble. And so they came bringing help till it was overflowing. And that is, to me, a beautiful picture of what the church ought to be. That when one of us hurts, one of us is in trouble, that we all come and surround and love and support and help and lift one another up. Heavenly Father, thank you for the church. That we tend to mess it up because we're selfish people, and we tend to mess it up because we're all sinners. But your church is such a beautiful body on earth that is a place, more than a place. It is a people who are serving and loving and caring and meeting needs of the hungry and the homeless and the starving around the world. A place where we can find peace and hope and love and safety and security. Safe within the arms of Jesus. Thank you that He was born in Bethlehem to change the world. And now you're calling us to change the world by allowing Him to be born in us and to overflow in our lives. Father, now in this time of decision, if there's one that needs to claim the hope of Jesus, give them the courage and the confidence to step out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.